Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneurial life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia, how are we doing today?
Amazing, as usual.
We've got Ida and the White Fox on today. So let me introduce Ida. Ida, by the way, your hair looks great. Curly hair. My wife, that's the first thing my wife said to Ida when we got on the call. And Nathan, you're rocking it too, bro. We're excited to be interviewing Nathan and Ida, the founders of Waldorf Capital Ventures. Nathan and Ida are passionate about helping people achieve financial freedom and generational wealth through secure, passive, and profitable real estate investments. Welcome to the Julia and Gino Show, Nathan and Ida.
Yeah, thank you all for having us.
Pleasure being with y'all this afternoon. Thank you, guys.
This is an exciting podcast for me because I do love talking to couples that work together. And of course, you're into multifamily. And so my husband is thrilled about that. He's going to love this conversation. So it's good all around.
I win, she wins, win-win. This is the classic win-win. We're going to talk a little bit about multifamily and we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, working together with your spouse, communication. But I want to know, how did you guys get into multifamily? How was that decision made?
I think you should tell your story.
Yeah,
he's got a great story.
Well, it's awesome. It was one of these nights I'm sitting there with my kids, kissing them goodnight. They're like, hey, mama, will you read us a book? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't. And you can imagine what that feels like when you deny your child something as beautiful as just spending more time with them. And I went downstairs to pile of papers and I was exhausted. I had 3 or 4, 5 more hours worth of work. And I just was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, this is not sustainable. I'm trading my time for my money. And so real estate had been brewing in my head. And I started thinking about that. And I was like, well, maybe I should do that. So I actually went to Nathan and I was like, let's, you know, be investors. And he was like, no.
I missed it the first time.
And I was like, okay, well, back to square one. What do we do? And so then I started convincing myself again and trying to convince him and convince the world, you know, when you have a premonition and you're like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so then I kind of kept after it. And one day I found this decrepit, horrible old house and we bought it. And so that was kind of like this aha moment. Here we go. And then after that project, I actually had a profit and then it just kept going.
She remodeled it and we resold it.
Yeah, I made a profit. And then the next thing was like, all right, let's build a spec home. So we built a spec home. And the next thing is like, all right, I'm going to get my real estate license. I'm going to get my designer's license. I'm going to get my commercial and residential general contractor's license. I was like, education all in. So for the next decade plus, I spent my time doing property management and just immersed full-time real estate investor. I loved it. Finally was doing what I loved. And so then we just kept talking. We're like, all right, we're ready to scale this thing. And so we decided we need to look at what's next. What can we do that will take us to the next level? So Nathan and I started talking. We're like, we should do multifamily investing. And so we're like, all right, let's find some of the best mentors in the nation. And so we went all in. That was the only way to do it. So we invested hundreds of thousands. We went in with the networks that all over the nation. We studied so much because we wanted to do it right. And we wanted to do it with the right people. And we became basically the experts on all things real estate. From there, we started growing and growing, and we went from a small portfolio of properties that we managed to about 700 general partner units and about 2000 plus limited partner units. And now we have over 100 million in under management.
So what did you guys do beforehand? Were you both in the corporate world?
So I'm a residential realtor. I've been doing that and I'm right on the cusp of being kind of full-time multifamily, but not quite there yet.
So Nathan, she had to convince you to be an investor, to be into real estate. I mean, come on, Nathan, you got to work with her. I mean, she saw the light and you're like, no, I do it all the time, but I don't really see it. She's got to go out and buy a crappy house to convince you, huh? Wow.
She did great. I think, you know, there was a lot of mindset stuff for me to get over, you know, like fear stuff to be able to take that leap that we've worked on for years, I think, mm-hmm. since then. So some of it was that. And it's really, yeah, I think it took years later before I was like, wow, I'm on the wrong side of the transaction. You know, I need to be on the owning side of the transaction is where you really make money, not on the realtor selling side.
So this would be a question that my wife would ask, but I need to ask this. This is like an emotional kind of communicate. Nathan, honestly, what was the thought that went in your mind when she asked you and told you we need to be investors? Let's be honest here, because this is a moment that a lot of our listeners, they come against. And when I told my wife, I want to become financially free, I want to move to Florida, her first inclination wasn't like, let's do this. That's a great idea. She probably said, are you smoking
something?
I said,
something? Okay. I actually said, okay.
Yeah, but it was like, let's do it. It wasn't like,
listening knows that story.
It wasn't like, yeah, let's go do it. It's like, okay.
There's no excitement. That's true. Yes. That's true.
So what went through your mind?
I think like a lot of couples, you know, like one's usually the brakes and one's usually the gas. And Ida's definitely the gas. If you haven't noticed by like, all the, you know, the GC license and all the stuff, the degree she got, designer degree. So I think I was thinking, I don't know about that. I don't know if we have enough money, you know, to do this. And I think I was thinking about the risks instead of thinking about, that's where my mind was, honestly, that time. It was on the risk rather than on the return.
Okay. So once you see things are working okay, how do you switch your mindset from the risk to the return and saying, okay, I'm all in. This makes sense to me now. When did that moment come for you?
That's a great question. I don't know. It's kind of years down the line as she kept basically. So what I did is I made money and real estate sales to pay all the bills and kind of was like, let her invest and reinvest. So as the portfolio kept growing, and as she continued to be able to run properties successfully and really, you know, turn a good profit, and wonderfully enough, turn profit, but not pay a lot of taxes on it, which is great, you know? And slowly I started watching our net worth go up. And so I don't know if there was a definite moment in time, but unfortunately, it took me too long. Let's put it that way.
So, Ida, this is before Julia jumps in here, I have to ask this question to you specifically.
Yeah.
Were you frustrated with him? Be honest. Like, were you like, bro, do you
see? No, and listen,
I could answer that one.
No, and I want to be clear that part of why I share that tidbit with y'all right now, and we were being super vulnerable here with you all and with your audience. Part of why I share that is because that's part of our story, mm-hmm. and how we have grown together into the couple that we are, into the one-minded visionaries that we are. But it was a process, and it was our beautiful process. And always all beautiful processes are a bit messy, can be, right? If they're real. And so because we're real people with real struggles and real obstacles in our minds, you know, we experienced that. And I think that's what part of what makes this part like new partnership that we have together that much stronger. Because part of what I didn't share with you is that we worked together. I worked with him as a realtor because I got my license, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, we didn't do that very well.
And so when we did that, I knew I never want to work with my husband again. That's what I knew in my mind. Uh-huh. And the fact that we're here now and we're giving it this other go and our minds are completely, literally completely changed, mm-hmm. is the beauty of our process. Yeah. It's the blessing that we get to share with the world.
And you know, now like, I told my wife that she was going to ask the next question, but I need to jump in right here. Because this is important. Yeah. Let's go back. And for the listeners, what mistakes did you make on that first go around as opposed to the next go around. And I'm thinking, well, Nathan's the expert realtor. What does Ida know? Because I've been doing this gig for a while. Now Ida comes around with an idea, and Nathan's like, this is not going to work because I'm in real estate. So let's talk about what those mistakes were early on, so maybe the listeners can avoid those, or maybe use those and help create that relationship or that partnership amongst
the mistakes themselves. Like that made us working together not work? Is that what
not,
you mean?
Yeah.
Well, really, what changed? Because you worked together already, didn't work, and all of a sudden now it's working.
Yeah.
What is
different? I mean, to piggyback on what she said, you don't know what you don't know. So I would say 12 plus years ago, we didn't know how much mindset stuff we needed to go through to get to the point of, I mean, when you're staring down raising $13 million for a project, that's, you got to have a good mindset to do that. Like that would scare the tar out of most people. So I would say, you know, we make, as business people, we make goals for our business, but we never make goals for our family. And I think way back then, when we first worked together, we didn't make goals for how we were going to relate to one another, for how that business relationship was going to work. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, my failure was treating my wife more like an employee than a partner. And I would say this time around, we both got super excited about multifamily investing. And that's just been one of our commitments. Like, we're going to do this together, but we're going to do it in a way where we work in a healthy way together.
I never do that, Nathan. I never treat her like an employee. Never.
It's never happened. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We're always working with one another.
Well, you know what it is? It's one of those things that I can just go turn to her and she can do anything for me. Like this studio, setting up the studio, ordering something, whatever it is. And sometimes I take that for granted, and there's so much that she does behind the scenes, and sometimes I should be able to say, hey, thank you, you know, for doing that stuff.
Yes, thank you, I appreciate that.
In the end all, I think it was a real God thing. Like, Ida's super sharp, and she really helped me grow my business, and it was a big loss for me to lose her, for her to go, yeah, I'm not doing this realtor thing anymore, I'm gonna go invest. But it's sort of like, I think God created her to do that. You know, I think that's the higher thing that God wanted her to do, and not be a realtor with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the end all, everything worked out the way it should have. Mm-hmm. But
and all the experience, I you know, I never say I regret, because all that experience brought to where you are now. And I think that's so important. A lot of times we think about the regrets, and I should have done this, I should have done that, but it wouldn't have brought you to where you are. I love that you are so honest, because there are so many couples out there that are struggling. They want to work together. They want to do these things, but like you said, the personal development part is missing. And so they just go in as the business, as the business partners. And then their marriage is stressed. Their relationship is stressed. Even if it's a friend that you're working with, that friendship is stressed. And so give us an idea of what personal development you worked on specifically, because that to me was huge. And I could tell you, with the two of us, that's what changed our relationship as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal development is, like, personally, I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
That's all. If I could do something full time besides real estate, yes. And I do both at the same time, is just invest in myself, and becoming, my purpose in life is to become the best version of myself I possibly can, and encourage the people that I love to do the same. And so that's a thing in our family. We've been doing it for years. I don't know if y'all have heard of a seminar called Landmark Worldwide. Our children have done that. You know, we've been to Tony Robbins. There have been some more less known conferences and trainings that we have done over the years. We're always doing something. In fact, we just this past December rented a cabin in the woods, just the four of us, or our kids and the two of us, and we did 6 days of immersive Date with Destiny with Tony Robbins.
With our kids.
With our children, together as a family. And it was raw and it was messy, but it was beautiful. I mean, by the end of that journey, our kids would literally, unprompted, come up to us and say, thank you for investing in me and helping me grow and helping me have tools to live the most beautiful life that I can. I mean, that's paraphrased, yeah, but that's literally their heart. And that's what they shared with us. And like, we're all like, we do crazy stuff around here, like priming and jumping like Tony Robbins does. And, you know, nobody looks at it like, what is she doing? Why is she being weird? I'm meditating, you know, they get it, you know, whatever we are doing, we are this like beautiful community where we just love and support each other. And I'm just so thankful for that. And it's like, it's something when you were talking about, Julia, about not having regrets, one of the things that we have learned from Tony Robbins is called something called effective blaming. And that's when you look back at a difficult situation and you can say, man, why did that person do that to me? You know, that was horrible. Well, instead of doing that, you can go back and say, what did I become? How did I grow? How am I better because of that situation? So instead of me saying, Nathan, you know, why were you not nice to me? I can say, thank you.
Or whatever.
Thank you for what that situation brought to us. Because if we hadn't had that interaction, then I wouldn't have gone out and started my own business, created my own company, started investing. And so it was actually a beautiful thing. And that's why we bring it up, because it's part of our story. Mm-hmm. And it's part of what makes us both who we are today and who we are as a couple.
I was having a conversation with a priest friend of mine last week, and we're talking about personal development. And he used the word that I thought was ideal. I think it's very relevant to what you two stand for as well. He called it human formation. And I think when it's personal development, it's personal. But when you're talking about human formation, you're forming yourself as a human, but you're also using the Lord for guidance, right? And I think that's truly important, because I'm always about personal development, getting better. But there's not really that much we can do without God in our lives. And I think we forget that, because sometimes we're that make it happen and we think we can do everything on our own. I mean, work is hard, as you can depend on it, but pray and think about that. So I want everyone to think of themselves out there. Is it human formation? And the other word that we love to talk about is not really mindset, it's mind belief, right? Because mindset, you can have it where it's, you know, growth mindset, fixed mindset. We talk about that a lot. But if you have a mind belief that you believe you can do it, all of a sudden, Ida, you really displayed that. You said to yourself, I can do it. I'm going to go buy this crappy, decrepit house. Nathan doesn't believe in me. I believe I can do it. I made a profit. Then the second part, I believe I can do a spec home. Then the third part is I can do the construction company, get the GC license, and then I can go out and buy a multifamily, a small one, and then a bigger one, then start syndicating and raising money. That really comes to mind belief. And I think if you can work on yourself as a human and start continuing to grow yourself, and then couple that with the mind belief of you believing it and having a partner that really you can lean on and that really holds you accountable, and that you're using them and having them help you. I mean, that is the recipe for to becoming unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brandon Dawson calls it belief lids. I kind of like that analogy too, where it's like, here's your lid of how high you're thinking you can go, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just through us sitting together and setting goals, we've set huge goals, but it's actually really exciting. Mm-hmm. Set bigger goals than I'm used to setting. And I'm really excited about the direction we've got and where we're going to go with our business.
So. Nathan, I'm curious, you had said earlier that you were more cautious. You wanted more details, and your wife is a go, you know, go. And I feel like kind of like that's how we are. I'm always questioning everything he asks.
Yeah.
It is fun to question, I think. But are you still like that? Or have you changed in a sense? Or how have you changed since, you know, when you first started working together?
Well, I'd say, like we were talking about, my belief lid's gotten higher.
Yeah.
It's hard to have a belief lid as high as hers, but I'll be real honest. So I'm hoping less so. I know less so than it used to be. But I think that, you know, there's probably always going to be a little bit of that in us, where she maybe has a little more gas and I'm a little more brake.
It's
part of working together. I don't know. It's I hate to call it the yin and the yang, but it's kind of something like that. Right.
I mean, it's a benefit in my opinion, because you do need both sides. Because otherwise, you're just going to go blindly and take these crazy, you know, chances. Yeah. Who knows where you end up? Or you're the other side and you're always cautious and never making a step.
No, he's so good for me because ever since I was a little girl, I've always been a dreamer. And like, I love dreaming. It's one of my favorite things to do, if not my favorite thing to do. And my dreams, like you said, are just huge. They're maybe unreasonable, somebody could say. But that's okay. Like, it makes me happy to dream. And it would always scare him when I was dreaming, you know? And this was something that we actually have worked on throughout our 23 years of marriage, is how do you listen to my dreams without thinking that I'm saying let's go there tomorrow, but knowing that, you know, this can be something we work towards, and we can, you know, break down in bite-sized chunks and dream together.
Nathan, so, you had talked about the belief lids, you call them. There's a book, everybody, that I think you should all take a look at. It's called Mind Works. I think the author is Gary Vanderwerm. We're going to be interviewing him in a few weeks, but he's got something called belief bubbles, and we call them limiting beliefs, where you're on your journey early on. I would caution and challenge everyone listening to this. What are your belief bubbles out there? Nathan's belief bubble was, I don't want to be an investor. And that's what it is. But then your belief bubbles,
that's too risky.
Exactly. Yes, that's another belief bubble, right? And then what happens is, as you start to grow and you go down your journey, you start cautioning and you're looking at that from a different paradigm. All of a sudden, you made money in that house and you're like, okay, let's see if we can do another deal. And the belief bubble expands. Whereas most of us, if we don't have a partner egging us on, you'd still be back at that space. Can you imagine yourself if you didn't have Ida there pushing you? So that's why, I mean, to be able to work with your spouse, I think is incredibly powerful, where you have each other to hold each other accountable. And I think that if once you shatter that belief bubble, there's another belief bubble that's going to pop up. Well, I can't get into a 20 unit. I can't do that. Until you do it, then the belief bubble is, I can't raise $6 million. Then you do it. Then the belief bubble is, I can't leave my job. And then you do it. It's constantly challenging those belief bubbles to get to the next belief bubble, because they'll all be there. You were talking about fear. You'll never overcome your fear. That's okay. We've got a 120 unit deal on the contract. I'm still a little afraid of doing a deal after, you know, owning 1500. Well, because you're not attached to it. You're not really, it's not part of your focus in your daily thing. So you wouldn't be, you're killing me here. But I think everyone has to challenge themselves with their belief bubbles. And that's really important. And having somebody there to help you pop one, then all of a sudden, you know. And that's why the personal development, the human formation, is so important, because when you're sitting around and you're doing the same thing all the time, you're not challenging yourself and you're not growing as a person and you're not getting to that next challenge and that next step. I have no question, by the way. I'm just talking here. So Okay. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Jewel.
No, I love this conversation, because, you know, you took us from where you used to be, and you showed us the growth that you made, and even the incredible the work you put in with your family, with your children. And that's kind of where I want to go, because it's part of the business, in a sense, because we include our children in the business. You know, they unfortunately have two life coaches at home that they have to deal with all the time. They're like, Mom, please stop. just tell me what you want me to do, you know? And that is a challenge for them. But
I tell her to stop and just tell me what to do.
but it's, I'm curious if you, because they're older, did you say that they're teenagers and 20? So how do you incorporate them into your multifamily?
They're multifamily. So our oldest, I think he'd be fine with me telling this, but our oldest went to a college, Stony Brook, up near where y'all used to live. Oh, yeah. Discovered that like half the campus goes home on the weekend, and discovered he didn't want to stay there. So he came back to Chattanooga, and he actually worked with us for a semester and most of a summer. And it was actually really cool, because we were doing all this business training. And so we took him to everything we went to. Like real life business training. You know how you go to college and you don't really learn stuff that helps you run a business at all, but you learn some skills, I guess. But so he got to do that with us. He went to networking events, and he went from like following us around to one of the last ones we went to. He was like, hey, I just met this guy. You got to meet him. And he'd go bring people to us, and they thought he was so cool. Some 19-year-old, he was still 19 then. Mm-hmm. Talking to them about multifamily, and he'd been doing underwriting and stuff. Our youngest is only, he's about to turn 19, but I mean, he's still in high school, so he's watched it. That's about it. So, yeah. But he has done a lot of the mindset stuff with us, you know, because COVID was hard on kids, especially high school kids. He had a lot of stuff to work through. Both of them did. And I really feel like, you know, like we took the youngest got to go to Date with Destiny last year and with Tony Robbins. And then he got to go to, I'm sorry, that was this year. Last year was
Unleash the Power Within.
Yeah, Unleash the Power. 21. UPW.
Yeah, that was
so, 21. I mean, it's, he's got life skills that most people don't get till they're 30.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to ask you, because that's important. We sometimes we work so much on ourselves. And we're so focused on, you know, making ourselves better and all this stuff that we really do neglect the people living in our house. And, you know, even we're trying to work on our relationships. Yes, but it's really about us. And so then we have to sometimes it's like, oh, so our oldest two, same. I kind of put them in life coach school first. So before they graduated college, they finished with that. And then my other kids, I think that's a good path for them just to learn how to talk to people, how to listen to them and ask questions, because nobody teaches that. I mean, I could teach them. But someone else can teach them probably better than that. So I think that's so crucial to people.
Were your kids resistant to when you asked
them?
No,
because they saw the benefit. They saw the benefit in it. And I think that was the one thing. It wasn't like, here's what you have to do. Gino took the course. You know, we saw the benefit. That's why I became one. They saw the benefit in me and also how I talked to them and like my mom and all the people in my life. Like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And I said, look, take the course, you know? And so my daughter who went to youth ministry, she has a youth ministry degree. She's like, I actually learned more in this life coach than I did in college. And I said, I know that. I could have told you that already. So it's really important that we not only do, you know, that personal development for ourselves and our relationships with our spouse, but also teach our children, because they have to learn these things too, because it, you know, it does go both ways.
Absolutely. What's the future for you guys? What are you guys looking to do in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, really our, I guess it's now our 9-year goal. It started as a 10-year, but we want to get up to 10,000 units in 10 years. And that's been pretty cool. So it's pushing us towards 1,000 units a year. We didn't quite hit that last year. I mean, the end of the year was weird because I think there just wasn't as much inventory hitting the market because the multifamily market
got
hit
rates.
Like everybody with interest rates going up so much.
Where did you pick that number? Just out of curiosity, did you just say, hey, I want to get 10,000? It's just something that I'm dreaming of, or is it some kind of income number?
That's the big dreamer. Well, but I think it's very realistic.
No, we reverse engineered the numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we were like, all right, this is our income goal. So how many units is it going to take? And we broke it down. You know, and that's where that number came from. Although I will tell you, I'm not above picking a number out of a hat and calling it, you know, our goal, but that one we actually put a lot of thought into. So we did it together.
It's a big, hairy, audacious goal, but, I think what I've learned about goals, particularly in the last few years is, you know, you pick a big goal and you really go after it, and at worst, you fall a little short of it, but you've still done way more than you would have done. Mm-hmm. So
you got to push yourself. Yeah. You know, you got to walk into that fear a little bit. Just like I find myself in the habit of always being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, when I'm uncomfortable, that's when I'm comfortable. If that makes any sense to you.
Absolutely. 100%.
The moment that I'm like sitting still.
You know you're doing what you're supposed to do. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm just always challenging myself. Okay. I've kind of done this. How can I try something new, bigger, more rewarding that brings more blessing to all involved? You know, just, you know, this expansive, you know, growth. Like it's not just about me. I mean, I'm sure you guys are a great example what you do with your training.
Yeah, you left restaurant, right? You were in the restaurant business.
Once you're in the restaurant business, it doesn't seem as if you ever leave it. It always lingers. Yeah. Every time you walk into a restaurant, you get the PTSD and you're like diagnosing, and this is what they could have done, and that's what they could have done. But I left it several years ago, and it was one of those things. It was a family business. I truly enjoyed it, truly loved it, but there was just some shortcomings. It wasn't allowing me the lifestyle that I could have. I wasn't able to, you know, I want to say generational wealth, but it wasn't just, I wasn't able to scale that business. And it was very hard. It was a difficult business, working on the weekends, working on the holidays. And that was my big why, and understanding that it wasn't aligned with my values really, really gave me the clarity.
I'm just going to put it out.
I still am a good cook. Not
you are her. A one dish wonder.
That's all. Is okay.
Just call him a one dish wonder. He can make one dish like incredible.
I want to make one dish. I focus on it, and it's amazing. I got my backup. There's 6 kids there. 4 of them can make another dish. I got that one dish. It's amazing.
All of make another.
Yeah,
dish.
What is it? We want to try it.
Anything he makes, I prepare, whether it's duck, whether it's lobster, whether it's scallops, whether it's picanha, I make that one dish, and it is amazing.
It's not that often.
It's often enough. Okay.
But when that's he does, awesome. It's absolutely different.
Guys, where can the listeners get a hold of you? I want people to learn a little bit more about you and your business and what you guys do.
Yeah, so you can go to WaldorfCapitalVentures.com, and we actually we've got a giveaway that it's more about multifamily, but it kind of helps you figure out, it kind of gives you next steps. So if somebody's thinking, one of your listeners might be thinking about getting into multifamily, but they're on the fence, we've got a giveaway at The Wealth Building. Trifecta.com. Make sure you put in the D, or you're going to end up at some cryptocurrency guy's website.
So let me say that again. It's The Wealth Building Trifecta.com.
Yes. And, and we're offering a bonus. If somebody signs in today when the show comes out, we'll give them a free 30-minute session where we'll help them figure out their personalized goals. And figure out where they may want to go with multifamily. And I mean, what this is it's a 30-minute call to kind of help you get started. And what it does is help you map out your next steps, so you're not just lost, wondering how the heck you do this. Mm-hmm. And what this means is you'll be that much closer to that life of your dreams, and really to take your time back. That was a why for both of us. We wanted to take our time back.
Yeah.
And kind of build legacy wealth. So.
What is your big, for the audience, what is your advice for couples that want to work together, but maybe thought of it like how you did in the beginning? Maybe they want to work together, but they, everyone else is telling them not to, because that's very common. So yeah. Give them some words of wisdom.
I think be intentional. Like I wish looking back, and we know it now, and God did what he was going to do with our lives, which is awesome. So I wish the first time we were thinking about working together that we had really set goals, and we actually have intentions now that we go through every morning. Like mine is to help you to be heard every day, and to look for one way that I can kind of help her feel supported that day in business.
And mine is to help them feel listened to that day, heard. And also, men need this, like they need sleep, like they need water, affirmation. Ladies, affirm the men. They need to hear it every day. And that is one of my biggest takeaways from my relationship. I didn't want to give that to him, and this is a relationship, right? So we're both doing things that are wrong. And, that looking back, we're like, where did I fail? Where did I withhold? And that was one of the things that I withheld amongst many, yeah. We're not going to get into nitty gritty, but I think rituals have really changed the way that we relate. I think rituals are super basic and important in any relationship. When you do things that are non-negotiable every day, and you get used to it, and you like expect it, and you plan for it, it can change your entire day. So we wake up every morning, and we both have our morning rituals. We meditation, prayer. We
get our head in the right place.
Get intentions. We remind ourselves of our own intentions towards each other. We exercise. And then at night, it's really cool. We do this 3 and 3 where we share with each other our 3 wins and the 3 things we want to win the next day. And so it gives us that mentality of like, yeah, we're winners, and we're looking for the positive things always that happen, because we're accountable, reporting back to each other at the end of the day. And then we're supporting each other for the things that we want to create the next day. So it's this like beautiful kind of flow of just goodness between us, of encouragement. And I think if you can create that, just simple, like sometimes, like we were talking to a gentleman yesterday at a networking event, and he was saying, you know, I want to work with my spouse, but I want to go to marriage counseling, and I want to do this therapy thing, and I want to do, and he had all these grand, huge things that he felt he had to do before anything could happen. And then we shared with him these small little steps. I'm like, sometimes just doing the small things makes the biggest ripple, you know? And so I just would encourage people to, like, when you change, people around you change. And us changing and my changing in the way that I am, acknowledge that my husband needs to be affirmed, made a huge difference in our relationship.
And honestly, that me thinking every morning, like, how can I listen to her? How can I help her feel heard? Now, when we're not agreeing on something, on how we're going to go about something in business, it helps me like go, okay, I'm going to back up and I'm just going to let her talk and we're going to figure this out. You know, I mean, I think that's been really helpful. It's sort of like back in there, you know, in my subconscious, I guess, but it seems to be working.
I love the way you ended this, and you had a great couple minutes there. The only thing that I heard was my wife needs to tell me that I'm awesome every morning. That's the only thing I heard out of that 2 minutes. So make sure tomorrow morning when you wake up, you say, Gino, you are the best. You're awesome.
You get a plaque and she can read it to you every
day. I do. Yeah,
I got him a plaque that goes to the desk. It says, I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm going to do that. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to hear, Gino, you're awesome.
I do. I give them high fives throughout the day.
Let me repeat the podcast, the link, I'm sorry, thewealthbuildingtrifecta.com. Yes. I want to thank the Silver Fox and Ida for being on the show today. Go and check out the website, Waldorf Capital. And we just want to thank you for being on the show. We want to thank the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. And Julia, any final words?
No, it was a great conversation. I love to hear your story. And I'm sure the listeners will really get a lot out of this because one of my favorite topics. So,
thank you guys.
Thanks for having us,
guys.